Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you are not only having a good day, but you're enjoying a little Tom Petty. That's an interesting bumper song there, Iowa Sam in for Ramos. Kind of got me mellow there. Like I feel like when it's like a football weekend, we need some AC/DC, right? We need some we need some little pop.
We'll mix it up. We'll get a bump in.
I'll give you a couple of thoughts. Speaking of pop, so Penny Hardaway played at Memphis back when it was Memphis State. I don't have to get into all the things about Penny. I've gotten a chance to know Penny a little bit and really. I really enjoy him as a guy, and I think what's fascinating about Penny Hardaway is that obviously he took over a job. I felt like the way Josh Pastner was treated, the way Tubby Smith was treated, Memphis is a place that loves basketball, loves their local product, but it is it's a difficult place. And I mean, look, replacing what John Calipari had going is a hard thing to do. Like, there's a reason. And I got a chance. I called the Kentucky-Texas A&M game for Compass Radio. It's a national radio. They do just games. And so I was there. What night is tonight? God, I'm so lost on my days. We're Friday, right? We've gotten to Friday. So I guess Wednesday night I did the game in College Station. And everybody was so nice in College Station. But like your courtside and where we get set up for that game is right next to the Kentucky bench, literally. Right. So I can hear everything Cal is doing. I can watch him. I can see him. And I'm going to say something that probably doesn't, he's made mistakes when they lost to UConn, the national championship game. I think it was UConn, was the Wisconsin game? I'm trying to think. They've lost games where he's kind of miscalculated some time when to foul. I think it was the UConn game, when to foul. But, I mean, that can happen to anybody. If you have to sit there on the sideline and watch all the things going on and the decisions to be made, and you start to understand that there's a reason. There's a reason that he wins. And I understand the idea is, well, he gets the best players. When he was at, for example, Memphis, yeah, he had Derrick Rose that went to the national championship game, and they had a 9-point lead with 2 minutes to go, and they should have won that game. Free throw shooting and frankly, a little bit of luck. And Bill Self's pretty damn good, too. They end up forcing overtime and losing the game. But that wasn't – he had one guy who was a future MVP of the NBA, but the rest of the team were fledgling, barely playing the NBA sort of guys. It speaks to the fact that guy's a really good coach. Really, really good. And – there's a reason he's in the Hall of Fame. There's a reason that UMass hasn't been able to come close to what he was able to do since he left. Memphis hasn't been able to come close to what he did since he left. So it's hard. It builds these unrealistic expectations. So Penny Hardaway's come in, take over the program that he once played for. And this year has been difficult. Now, part of it is he has a very well-regarded recruiting class, including a kid named Amani Bates, who reclassified. Okay, reclassified means you could have been a senior in high school, and instead you decide to go to college. Now, some kids who do this, who reclassify, they're still really of college age, you know? And so even though they reclassify, they're the normal age of a freshman. Amani Bates is not, okay? He just, wait for it. I believe he's just 17. He turns 18 at the end of the month. So he's really, really young. And what's changed the trend in college basketball is the expression is get old and stay old. So last night they took on SMU. Larry Brown helped build this program. Larry Brown's actually now on Penny Hardaway's staff. And they lost to SMU at home. SMU starts all seniors, one of which is 24 years old. SMU's not great. Memphis is mercurial. They're generally a much younger team. Here's Penny after the game.
I think the one thing I can say to this media, because this media gets kind of up sometimes when it comes to me, we don't have our full roster. Y'all know we don't have our full roster. Stop asking me stupid questions about if I feel like I can do something. If I had my roster like they did, then I feel like I can do whatever I want to do. I'm coaching really hard. My boys are playing really hard. I'm not embarrassed about nothing. We have four freshmen starting. Y'all need to act like it. Act like we got 17, 18, and 19-year-olds out here trying to learn how to play against 22, 23, and 24-year-old guys. Come on, man. Stop disrespecting me, bro. Like, don't do that. I work too hard. I work way too hard for that. Y'all write all these articles about me, and all I do is work. We got young kids on the floor. They got young kids on the floor.
Okay, so, you know, part of it, obviously, is first, writing articles. Does that mean, does Penny read the paper? Who reads the paper? Penny Hardaway reads the paper. No, I'm sure it's online. Now, what you have to understand is I'm sure he's feeling the pressure of Memphis. Like, Memphis is, it's a different big city that cares about college basketball unlike anything you've ever seen. It really is. Philadelphia loves college basketball, but there's not one program that they hyper-focus on the way that Memphis does as a city. I could go around the country, and I would say that Memphis, for a big city, their college basketball program matters more to them, one program, than any other big city in the country. And he's reacting more to the local media. Let me ask Dan Beyer, how does that quote hit? How does that response hit you?
Well, in saying this, I haven't followed a ton of Memphis hoops this season. However, I do know that there are expectations with it. And a lot of times when you have expectations, you aren't allowed to have excuses. And so that's where, every team has to go through their own stuff, whether it be injury, whether it be COVID, whatever the case may be. But it's also a program that probably hasn't, they haven't made, what is this, his second or third year with the program, hasn't made the NCAA tournament. So, it's, I hate to say it, but it's about time. And so then when he fights back, I think it actually magnifies maybe the problems that they've had there. If problems is the right word, the difficulties may be the better word that they've had there.
There's a lot to, it's like a whole loaded, maybe more of a podcast sort of explanation, But, there's so many different things going on in college basketball. The big thing is, between transfers and super seniors, you're going to have these teams that they have grown men. And we've always had it before. Look, when I was at Oklahoma State, my senior year, I was 24. Hey, we had, I think, Brian Montanati, our starting power forward, he was 23. Everybody else was 22. Our youngest player that actually played was Fred Yancey, was a sophomore, and he was 20 or 21. Like, we had old dudes. And when you're older, your bodies are more developed, your games, your mind, you've played a lot. And if you want to say, like, hey, John Calipari won at Kentucky or maybe won at Memphis with freshmen, with younger players, you're right. But college basketball has changed, right? John Calipari did not win with a freshman who was the age of a high school senior. That when he had a kid reclass, it didn't work. Devin Askew, last year, his point guard was a reclass from Modern Day. It didn't work. Now he's at Texas. So it's the age thing is real. Could Penny have handled it better? Like, yeah, right? Just go like, listen, I still have great energy for this. We're going to figure this thing out. We've got a younger team. I saw some really, really good things. But I don't think this is a pushback against everybody in the media or media in general. I think it's generally, look, if you're covering Memphis for a Memphis publication, you should understand this better than anybody else, all the things that are taking place. you know, all the things that are taking place. And he doesn't have DeAndre Williams, who is a senior. And now he's throwing out a bunch of kids, and they got beat. So I think what he's asking for is what I try to do is just be fair and give honest context. Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Check out the latest lines in the world of sports at BetRivers Sportsbook. BetRivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. Got to be 21, present in Colorado, Indiana, Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Hard Hittner, Dante Whitner joins us, former Pro Bowl safety with the Niners and the Bills. You can see his analysis on NBC Sports Bay Area. Dante, I want to take me back to the Niners-Cowboys game. Troy Aikman has come out and said, why did you just not throw the ball to CeeDee Lamb 10 times in the first half as they're playing off coverage? Too much schemes, too many, you know, the expression, you know, it's players, not plays. They're running too many plays. As a guy who knows what the Niners are doing and breaks it down for a living, is Troy Aikman right?
No, he's not right. They played a lot of cover two. They played some trap coverage where there was some indecision that they put in the mind of Dak Prescott. So a lot of times you can't just raise up and throw it out there. You know, but the 49ers, they did align in some coverages that Aaron Rodgers took advantage of. So there's always an opportunity to just throw it out there. But when the 49ers are combating that with a safety over the top, it doesn't give you the opportunity.
How surprised were you at the Cowboys' last play?
I wasn't surprised at all. I figured that the Cowboys would figure out a way to mess the game up. But a lot of people are talking about that final play in that final drive. But the 49ers could have put that game away a lot earlier than they did. Having to settle for field goals in the red zone, they were doing whatever they wanted to do in the running game. Jimmy Garoppolo did have the unfortunate turnover, but the 49ers offense was moving up and down the field. So, yeah, they can talk about that last play. You know, but the 49ers got it done when they had to.
All right, let's get to this weekend. Look, we've seen this before. I know they played earlier this year, but it's a different Niners team. First thing is Bosa. What's the likelihood he plays, you think?
I think that the likelihood is 100%. I think he practiced yesterday. He hasn't technically been cleared from the concussion protocol, but it looks like Bosa will be ready to go. And it's going to be everybody. It's going to be that defensive line, but you know, it's not just the defensive line, Doug. It's the coverage. It's the nickelback moving inside, outside. If the safety's not getting caught into, okay, we know we're going to play cover two, so pre-snap, let's show cover three. You don't think that Aaron Rodgers see that on film? So you have to break your own tendencies to beat the top-tier quarterbacks. And what it's going to take is deception and exceptional acting abilities from everybody on defense. It's going to take that one person each and every play in between the snaps saying, hey, he's not going to snap the ball till 3 to 7 seconds on the play clock. How about we be good actors? How about we be poised in what we do? Okay, he's looking at everybody's leverage. He's looking at everybody's body mannerisms. He's looking to see if the corners are within 4 yards or they're 9 yards. He's looking to see the depth and the width perception of the safety. So it's about making him read the defense post-snap. If you can just make Aaron Rodgers read the defense post-snap, you give yourself a better opportunity to allow the defensive line to get home. He can't just throw the ball into a bubble that he sees pre-snap is going to be open, and you make him work. And anything can happen when you do that. Of course, he's Aaron Rodgers. He's the MVP of the league. He's going to figure it out. But the only thing you can do is make it tough on him and give your defense the best opportunity to have success.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so what about Garoppolo? You mentioned the unfortunate interception. It's almost like sunrise in the east and sets in the west, and Jimmy will throw two or three balls where you hold your breath, and usually one is intercepted. How do you manage that if you're Kyle?
And that's what we've been seeing all season. That's what I see when I watch film. That's what the fans see. That's what the data shows. Jimmy Garoppolo has a 4.6% turnover-worthy play. Right now, Aaron Rodgers has 2%. If he can just cut that out of his games, the 49ers offense can reach heights that they've never seen before. So that's what it is. They've simplified the packages for Jimmy. He knows how to operate it. He can get it out in the screen game. He's good with the play fakes in the RPO games. But it's about making the proper decision in the moment. And it's okay to just check the ball down. It's okay to just throw it away. But don't turn the football over, and they win a lot of games. So it's going to primarily be the running game, the RPO game. And it might be one of those games where the 49ers are going to say, hey, Jimmy, you might get 10 to 12 throws. We're going to run it 50 times, and we're going to take advantage of the weak run defense of the Green Bay Packers.
Who do you think wins?
I think the 49ers win. I don't think it's going to be close, Doug. And I have, you know, some information to back up my thesis here. The first game, the 49ers gave up so many plays in the first quarter, not even the first half or the entire game. They gave up 142 yards. A lot of it was by pass interference. And, you know, even with the looks that they gave Aaron Rodgers, they were too simple. There was too many times they had man lined up across the board. They thought they were going to confuse him. Oh, he would never think that Tart is on Devontae Adams on the backside. He would never think they would put a corner on the running back on the outside. So this must be cover three. No, Aaron Rodgers knows. The nickelback is inside leverage, safety in the middle of the field. Let's just chunk it up to the outside. And they can just walk down into some of those coverages. I think they have a different outcome in this game. Okay, let's fast forward to the end of that game. Yeah, he left 37 seconds on the clock, zero timeouts. They made it too easy. Okay, you go cover two. You get the backside underneath defender who's supposed to be 15 yards on the hash, breaking on the throw to either have a collision with Adams coming over the middle or to even pick the ball off. He chases the running back to the flat. Now you have a corner and a backside defender in cover two playing the flat. It's an open area. Fred Warner got froze at 5 yards. Fred, they have to get the ball downfield. How about you align at 10 yards deep, and you get back into the area where they're going to throw the ball to Devontae Adams coming over the middle. Okay, not that play. Let's go to the last one before the field goal. They have cover five, and cover five is man underneath, okay, inside leverage, trail technique, reading the inside hip of the receiver, two safeties high over the top. At this point, you want Aaron Rodgers to see man coverage, take off, run the ball, the clock runs out. Right? You don't expect him to run for 20, 25 yards. Well, they had two rookies to the left side. They had D'Amador Lenore, who was his third game in the NFL, and you had Hufanga, who's the safety. Instead of being inside leverage playing man-to-man on Devontae Adams using the safety help, he plays off at 9 yards like he was lost. So if you have a veteran corner in that position, the 49ers win that game. So it went back and forth, back and forth. So I think that's enough information to figure out that if the 49ers just play a little bit better on defense, don't turn the ball over, they'll be in the NFC Championship.
If they were to ask you, Dante, we got Trey Lance for next year, we got Garoppolo for another year, and let Trey sit and learn. And as you said, like, look, we're all aware over four turnover worthy plays a game, nearly five turnover worthy plays a game. You're like, look, just cut that down. But at some point, like, he is kind of what he is. And he was hurt a little bit this year, which of course has been the biggest issue for Jimmy G outside of the turnovers. If they're to ask you, do you get rid of Jimmy and go with Trey, or do you ride this thing out? What would you do?
I think you stay with Trey. There's always that old saying, you don't give up some for sure for something that you don't know about. So Jimmy Garoppolo is winning 32-15, 2-1 in the playoffs, took the team to the Super Bowl. Right now he has a chance to go back to the NFC Championship. He operates this offense with great efficiency. He knows the checks. He's really good with the cadence now. He's getting better and better at that. And he hasn't been starting for a decade. Jimmy has had a few years. He's dealt with a lot of injuries, but he's consistently getting better. And you have Trey Lance locked up under contract. You have Jimmy Garoppolo, and he showed that he can win. His teammates respect him. His coaching staff respect him. Just cut that turnover-worthy play percentage down to about two, and the 49ers have what they need, the formula to win games. And they play it like no other team in the league. And it reminds me of the 49ers for Jim Harbaugh during his era. There was no other team other than the Seattle Seahawks that really played the type of brand of football physicality that we play. And there's no other team in the league except for the Buffalo Bills that give me that same type of identity. So I'm thinking that the 49ers, Buffalo Bills, end up in the Super Bowl, and absolutely they should keep Jimmy Garoppolo and allow Trey Lance to learn. And then they'll have some packages for him next year.
Well, I mean, to only push back on this, you mentioned when you were there and Harbaugh was there, they and it wasn't his fault that Alex Smith's fault against the Saints, right? He had two fumbles in special teams in the NFC Championship game. But there was the feeling that Alex Smith, you're bumping up against his ceiling, and you brought in Kaepernick, and Kaepernick took him to a Super Bowl, right? Same thing when Alex Smith was, and I know that Alex Smith is the opposite of Garoppolo, super, super conservative. But the idea is, like, we've seen Alex Smith enough. We know the limitations. The young guy gives us something the other one doesn't. It worked in San Francisco. It worked in Kansas City. Is that a fair pushback against the idea of sticking with Jimmy G?
I don't think that it's always a cookie cutter model. And people want this, you know, throw the ball over your head, Aaron Rodgers style quarterback. How many of those guys are in the league? I think that it's all about winning. And when it comes down to winning, they'll take it any way it comes. They've shown it. Eight throws versus Green Bay in the playoffs in the NFC Championship. I think that, you know, when it comes down to winning, that's all that really matters. And we shouldn't really put too much on the quarterback statistics if he gets it done in the W column. So I think that if they beat the Green Bay Packers, and that would be that they beat the L.A. Rams,
yep.
they beat the Dallas Cowboys, yep. the Green Bay Packers,
yep.
why wouldn't Jimmy Garoppolo return to this team and be the quarterback next season? What else do you want him to accomplish?
It's a great question. It's a great question. Dante, you're the best, man. Thanks for your analysis. Can't wait to see the game. Talk to you next week. Appreciate you being our guest on Fox Sports Radio.
All right. Thanks, Doug. Thanks for having me.
Do I owe him for a master class? Is there a bill on that? Is that one of those master class things that, like, you know, they're in cover five. Here's what cover five is. And then this is the play. It's amazing. Amazing when somebody really, really knows what the heck they're talking about. You need to hear what Brady Quinn said about Kyle Shanahan and the Niners. We'll get to that upcoming next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a good day, man. Beautiful here in Southern California. Don't know where you are. If you're cold, grab a blanket. If you're warm, throw on some flip-flops. Not really flip-flop weather. Let's do us in Florida. We're all over this great country. It's awesome when I was in Vegas last week and people listen on our Vegas affiliate. I get texts all the time. Bro, I heard you and I was on our Boise affiliate. Where was my friend listening? I got a text. I got to look through my text messages. You get them from all over. Tell a friend. You can also listen to us on Sirius XM. Sirius, I think, is 217 and XM is 203. You can download the iHeartRadio app and listen to the show. You can listen to a podcast form, like whatever you want. And if you missed a segment or you missed like Dante Whitner, who is awesome, it's like complete breakdown. Although I will point out he played for two teams, Bills, Niners, picked the Bills and the Niners to make it to the Super Bowl. It's not, I mean, not crazy picks, but still just a smidge of homerism there, but it was the type of detailed analysis and breakdown. We're like, wow, he didn't just say what, he said why. And it was really, really good. If you missed that, you can download the podcast form. Just go to wherever you download podcast or the Doug Gottlieb Show page on Facebook, and we put it out there. Somebody puts that out. I don't know. Jason, is that what you do? Yeah. Yeah, all right. Okay. Well, if that's what you do, good. You do a good job of it. Because I get all these Facebook page updates, and I was like, I didn't do that. Somebody much smarter than me did that one. Check out the latest lines in the world of sports at BetRivers Sportsbook. BetRivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. Got to be 21, present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, or Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. The thing about the Cowboys is fascinating, right? Like, on one hand, you have all these former Cowboys on TV and radio, right? You got Michael Irvin, you got Troy Aikman, you got Tony Romo, Moose Johnson. Who else? Who are the other others? There's a litany of Dallas Cowboys that have been sprinkled about on TV. Now, some of it is like, look, you win three Super Bowls, you're a Hall of Famer, you're going to have TV opportunities. Troy Aikman, whose career was cut short because of concussions, injuries. I mean, here's the guy that he's the biggest guy in the booth. So, of course, you're going to hear from Troy. But there's a good and a bad to it. Like, these guys are all good, but they're all now removed enough. Right? They've had time enough where, and in order to make it in this game abroad, you can't, when you're a national guy, you can't just come be a complete homer. You know, we're all going to have what happens with your team, program, whatever. Now, again, everyone is different. I can only tell you with me, like, I still follow everything from my alma mater, Oklahoma State. It's interesting. I didn't like Oklahoma basketball or Oklahoma football when I played at Oklahoma State, but I haven't lived in the state in almost 20 years. So it's not like I hate everything the other school has to offer. There's parts of it that I'll never get, I'll never like, and I'll always kind of make fun of. But it's not like I won't wear, like, there are people who won't wear red if or you won't wear orange based upon where you're located. And anyone who knows lives in a college town knows what I'm talking about. Like if you travel, this is interesting. Like if you're in, I was in College Station, Texas. You cannot find anything orange, burnt or otherwise, in College Station, Texas. Same could be said when I was in Tuscaloosa, Alabama the week before. Right? Can't find that stuff. You know, because the rival color. But for most of us who move away and have a job and you start covering sports, you start really appreciating people more than the team. Sometimes organizations, you like an organization or a guy who's running an organization more than a team. But I think this is interesting. After the Cowboys performance last Sunday, a lot of former Cowboys have come out and critical of the current team, the current roster, the current coaching staff. Here's Michael Irvin. He said this on Stack in the Box podcast.
Every team you look at, the stars of the team showed up and played. You can't win in this game if your stars don't show up and play. Dak Prescott, 69 passer rating. Ezekiel Elliott, 31 rushing yards. C.D. Lamb, 21 yards in reception, one reception for 21 yards. They had the star players playing like role players. That's why they got their butts sitting at home on this couch.
I get it. But we have a tendency to cover football like it's basketball. You guys ever understand? Like, football just isn't necessarily as much that sport. You know, because in football, you can dedicate two or three eyes and guys to different players, different personnel. Like you can do that. So I look at these things and I respect Mike Irvin and Troy Aikman. But then I listen to Dante Whitner come on and say, like, look, some of that coverage was disguised. There were safeties over the top. Were there times in which they missed their star players? Yeah. But there's part of it is by design. They want you to take the bait and force the ball to CeeDee Lamb. Here's Jerry Jones on his radio hit this morning.
If I thought changing out men at any level would improve us, I would change it out. I've looked around. I see a lot of names, a lot of great names, a lot of great names from colleges, a lot of great names. I see them coming through. I've seen a lot of great names at various duties in the NFL come and go over the last 30 years. Okay, I haven't seen but a couple of them that I thought might have a straight shot into what's up above. That's Belichick up there in New England. His record has been unbelievable. But aside from that, I'll be very candid with you. I see human beings, human frailties, human work ethic, human excelling, and coming up with the way to go. Bottom line is, yes, I'm very, very frustrated and upset that you can call it COVID, you can call it anything, but we have used up some very talented players over the last few years.
Byer, what do you think he means by that? We've used up some very talented players the last few years. My take on it means, yeah, like we've wasted some prime years of Ezekiel Elliott, right? We've wasted some prime years. Dak Prescott, obviously he got hurt. I don't know what is the COVID part. I'm not really sure I get the COVID part to it. You know, they were poorly coached on defense last year by Mike Nolan. That scheme, guys didn't buy into. It didn't work. It didn't connect with the players. Now that ain't COVID. Now, Micah Parsons, that guy's a star. He's going to be good. He's going to be great. And, you know, I mean, it's going to be up to Jerry. He's got a defense coordinator, Dan Quinn, who might get a job, or he can move the Brinks truck and keep him. You know, the Dak ankle, I get there's, I also think he's probably talking about prime Tyron Smith. Tyron Smith's been hurt some, but part of it is the rest of the team hasn't been good. They've had other injuries. They've had some changes in the offensive line. I'm just trying to figure out we've burned up some guys. Zeke is probably the only guy who, you know, his better years are behind him. Tyron Smith may be the other guy. I don't know who he's talking about with the rest of the team. That's a weird comment. Let's listen to him back to back. First Michael Irvin, then Jerry Jones, and I'll give you kind of what I think the overall takeaway is. First, here's Michael Irvin again.
Every team you look at, the stars of the team showed up and played. You can't win in this game if your stars don't show up and play. Dak Prescott, 69 passer rating. Ezekiel Elliott, 31 rushing yards. C.D. Lamb, 21 yards in reception, one reception for 21 yards. They had the star players playing like role players. That's why they got their butts sitting at home on this couch.
If I thought changing out men at any level would improve us, I would change it out. I've looked around. I see a lot of names, a lot of great names, a lot of great names from colleges, a lot of great names. I see them coming through. I've seen a lot of great names at various duties in the NFL come and go over the last 30 years. Okay? I haven't seen but a couple of them that I thought might have a straight shot into what's up above. That's Belichick up there in New England. His record has been unbelievable. But aside from that, I'll be very candid with you. I see human beings, human frailties, human work ethic, human excelling, and coming up with a way to go. Bottom line is, yes, I'm very, very frustrated and upset that we've, you can call it COVID, you can call it anything, but we have used up some very talented players over the last few years.
I feel like Irvin's calling out Dak and pointing out that Zeke is not nearly as good as what he's paid or his reputation. And I feel like Jerry's in a bit of denial. Seems like the Cowboys are going to be the Cowboys, right? None of that is. And this is what happened. Look, when you look at any time when Trump won the White House, you know, right before he won the White House, people were talking about whether the Republican Party is going to collapse. And it was the Democrats who had to try and figure out, what do we do different? How do we? Then the Democrats win and the Republicans are not. Well, what do they got? That's what happens when you lose. A really smart person looks, you look at yourself in self-scout when you win or when you lose, and you go like, all right, here's what we can get better, here's what we can get worse. You know? Jerry's like, well, I see human people, and yep, I'm disappointed. We could add some things, but I actually think we should win. That's kind of what he said. And Mike Irvin's like, look, if Dak doesn't play any better, if Zeke doesn't play any better, CeeDee Lamb doesn't play any better, you're always going to get beat. They're all kind of saying, well, at least Irvin and Aikman are kind of saying the same thing. How come we can't get CeeDee Lamb going? Calling out the coordinator, calling out the quarterback. Mike Irvin's calling out the running back. And Jerry's sitting there going, just got to try better next time. Ah, the Cowboys. The gift that keeps giving.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Mic check. Hey. Mic check. Hey.
If you want exclusive insight from the biggest names in the sports game, what's good? This is national champion and former pro baller Chris Johnson. And let me tell you a little bit about my new series, KJ Live.
KJ Live is the only show featuring me going one-on-one with the brightest basketball minds on the planet to get the real.
And when I say real, I mean that real. I got legendary Hall of Famers, elite coaches, and the top basketball insiders bringing you a unique perspective on all things hoops culture that you will not find anywhere else.
To make your next move your best move.
And tap in with me on KJ Live, wherever you get your podcast from.
What up with your Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio? Hope you're having a good day. The Doug Gottlieb Show comes to you live daily from Southern California. We haven't gotten Antonio Brown addressing his mental health issues. I think that's a beautiful thing. man, that's a beautiful thing. I'm ready for this weekend's games. Anybody else? All right, anybody else like, man, I'm just chomping at the bit for this weekend's game.
Woo!
Yeah. Give me that again. Give me another. Woo! Woo! There we go. You see, Ric Flair is going to be in attendance at Texas Tech. Chris Beard, of course, going back to Texas Tech, where he's the head coach previously. And they're having Ric Flair come to fire up the crowd. That's beautiful. Woo! That's amazing. That's outstanding. I love it. I love it.
I love it.
Yep. Love it. Love it. Love every bit of it. Love every part of it. Love. Okay, so I saw this and I thought it was just fantastic. Just fantastic. We're trying to make heads or tails of a lot of these kind of coaching gigs, right? And it's pretty obvious if you watch it, there's a relationship between usually GM and coach. They like, I can tell you right now without, and I don't know for a fact, but I have a pretty good sense, right? Bill Shane is the new general manager of the Giants. Is that right, Byer? Bill Shane is the guy's name, right? Bill, I know Shane's his last name. Joe Shane. Joe Shane was, he came with Brandon Bean. He was like, Brandon Bean was kind of a cream and sugar guy when he first got to the Carolina Panthers. Got elevated. Joe Shane was underneath him, was an intern who made it, you know, kind of became a scout, a regional scout. And then he followed Brandon Bean to Buffalo. And because that whole group, it was, you know, Sean McDermott was in Carolina as a defensive coordinator. And he comes to Buffalo. Obviously, they've completely changed that thing. 17 years, no playoffs. And now here they are playing for a chance to go to the AFC Championship game with an elite quarterback. And once you start poaching assistant GMs, you know how well respected the rest of the league is. Can I take a guess at who their head coach is going to be? It's going to be Brian Daboll, right? And if Brian Daboll doesn't get the job and doesn't take another job and Joe Shane has that job, that to me means you shouldn't hire Brian Daboll because Joe Shane knows something about him that the rest of us don't. Almost that you want to work with. This is why the Rooney Rule is important, because it does give you some outside the box, at times outside the box guys. It's like, look at the Patriots. Patriot guys go and hire other Patriot guys. Like, that's why you knew the David Culley thing was kind of reached. People would work with him. They liked him. It was fine. But now, you know, who were the first two guys they interviewed? I mean, Gerard Mayo, former Patriot linebacker, right? Now a Patriot defensive coordinator. And Brian Flores, former Patriot defensive coordinator. And, of course, former head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Patriot guys going to bring in Patriot guys. I get to that more upcoming. Let's first get to Ben Volen, who joins us. Ben, of course, the senior writer at the Boston Globe, covers the entire National Football League. Let me go back to last week real quick. And I'm sure you hate this part, that you used to cover the Patriots. Now you cover the whole league. But what do you think the Patriots do after that was a comeuppance, right? That team fell apart at the end of the year. I know you lose one of your tackles. That's going to hurt you. You trade away your best cover corner, one of the best cornerbacks in the league, to save some money for future years. What do you think they do now they're back in the playoffs to take that next step?
Yeah, they got steamrolled. They got flattened by the Bills last weekend, no question. And to me, this isn't a loss where you just kind of shrug it off and move on to the next season. I think that loss combined with their other losses in December, you know, to a Colts team that didn't make the playoffs, to a Dolphins team that had nothing to play for, That revealed the Patriots have some significant issues. It showed that they really don't have a whole lot of punch on offense. You look at the teams that are left in the playoffs, they have elite talent. A.J. Brown, T. Higgins and Jamar Chase, you know, Devontae Adams, Mike Evans. Every team has elite talent. The Patriots don't have that. They have a bunch of twos and threes around Mac Jones. I think it showed that Mac Jones, I don't know if he can lift the team on his back. You know, I don't know if he is a Josh Allen or Pat Mahomes type of quarterback. And Mac might, you need to maybe surround him with lots of top talent to get the most out of him. And the defense looked old and slow. So, like, I wrote an article this week, you know, the Patriots, from a 30,000-foot view, well, they went 10-7 with a rookie quarterback, made the playoffs. Like, all should be well, but they have a lot of issues. They spent all that money last year. It didn't get them a ton. Now they're going to have to spend a lot more money because of years of bad drafting kind of catching up to them. So it's like, I don't know, it should be happy times in New England, but last week's blowout was just showed how far off they are, and I think revealed how significantly, you know, the roster has some issues that are going to need to be addressed.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Ben Volen joins us. Okay, the Cowboys. You're having former Cowboys call out the play calling, the head coaching, and the quarterback play. As of now, Jerry's sticking with his head coach, and we'll see what happens with his coordinators, whether or not they'll get jobs. But what do you think happens in Dallas?
Well, I thought it was very noteworthy today that Jerry did his weekly radio appearance on the station down in Dallas and did not, you know, did not unconditionally support Mike McCarthy. You know, he said there's no reason the season ended the way it did, or it should have ended the way it did. And, you know, the penalties were obviously a mess in some of the play calling. And it sounds like there's going to be some accountability for someone. I don't know if it's going to be Mike McCarthy. Jerry's actually done a pretty good job of giving his coaches some space over the last, like, decade or so. He stuck by Jason Garrett probably longer than he should have. So I don't know if he wants to fire Mike McCarthy right now after two seasons, but there's going to be some accountability. And if it's not McCarthy, I think there's going to be a shakeup on the staff because, that you know, I think that the Cowboys are just the second team all time to score 500 points during the regular season and then lose in the wild card round. So this is not the ending that the Cowboys thought they would have. They thought they had a much better team this year. In the end, they were classic Dallas, you know, undisciplined, penalties, not knowing the clock situation at the end of the game, calling a designed quarterback run when they clearly didn't have enough time to do it. Just a sloppy, you know, mess of a performance by the Cowboys, which is what they're known for. And it doesn't sound like Jerry Jones is going to rest on his laurels. So Mike McCarthy might ultimately be safe, although I don't think he's sleeping well right now, but that staff is going to see some significant shakeups here.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Ben Volen is our guest. Okay, let's get to the Niners, and they're taking on the Packers. This is one of those games where, you know, Niners style traditionally is giving the Packers fits, and the Packers, they do give up a lot of rush yards. Now, everybody's pointing out that the Packers that not only beat a team, but the Niners are different than they were then. It should be pointed out the Packers are different too, right? They're going to get David Bakhtiari back. They acquired Whitney Merciless, who was hurt. Now he's back. Za'Darius Smith is back as well. What do you think of this matchup?
It is intriguing, and I do want to pick the 49ers. I am very tempted. The coaching matchup is fascinating with Shanahan versus LaFleur. These guys are like best friends. They've worked together for three or four different teams. They know each other like the back of each other's hands. I think they're 2-2 against each other in their brief stints as head coaches. So there's lots of kind of wild cards like that. The thing that gives me pause is the fourth quarter of the Niners-Cowboys game. And boy, did Shanahan and Garoppolo try to blow that game. And, you know, yep. Jimmy with a bad pick. Kyle Shanahan coaching tight again in the fourth quarter. You know, the Packers haven't really blown anyone away this year for the most part. Their point differential is like middle of the pack for a team that's the number one seed in 13-3. They don't have the best point differential by any stretch. But they've just been steady, and Aaron Rodgers doesn't make mistakes, and he does make the big throw in crunch time when you need it. And the fact that it's in Lambeau and it's going to be, you know, single digits, negative degrees Saturday night, I still am going to take the Packers, but it is tempting to take the Niners. I think it's going to be a terrific game on Saturday night.
I agree with you. It is going to be a terrific, terrific football game. Is Tampa in trouble?
They are. I don't love the fact that Brady, two of his offensive linemen are hurt, and this is obviously an offense. They don't have Godwin or Antonio Brown. They're still kind of figuring things out. They are getting healthier on both sides. They are getting guys back, but they're still kind of working guys in. That said, and also, you know, they already lost to this Rams team, and the Rams, weren't they the team that broke Gronkowski's ribs too? Like, that was a real physical game for the Bucs, and the Rams really brought it. You know, that said, I don't love how the Rams are playing right now either, and they're not going to have their left tackle. They're not going to have Whitworth. You know, they had a bad loss in Week 18 to the Niners where they blew up a big halftime lead. They struggled to put away the Ravens. And even last week against the Cardinals, there were a lot of punts, not the most efficient offense. It was really about Kyler Murray throwing picks and just looking terrible. So, you know, the Rams, I still think they miss Robert Woods. I still think the offense isn't clicking the way it did when Robert Woods was healthy. Odell Beckham is figuring things out, but it's just not the same. And so I still like the Bucks at home to get their revenge on the Rams and to pull off this win. But another matchup that is a little tough to dissect because neither team is fully healthy right now. And, like, you have concerns about both sides of this matchup.
Okay, let's talk some of these coaching hires. Fair to say when the assistant GM from Buffalo goes to the Giants that Brian and they need somebody to work with their quarterback, and Brian Daboll has done amazing things with Josh Allen, that Brian Daboll becomes the guy with the Giants?
It certainly would make a lot of sense. Daboll's, you know, involved heavily with a lot of these teams right now, the Bears and Dolphins and who knows what other teams. And I think he's just done a terrific job with Josh Allen the last few years. So, yeah, if you're a team with a young quarterback like a Daniel Jones, that makes sense. Or I just think in general, I think he's a great offensive coach. Look, maybe the Giants, maybe they're planning on making a big run at Russell Wilson. So I don't know if it's necessarily about Daniel Jones. I agree with the point you made before that if they don't hire Daboll, it certainly would raise an eyebrow because of the connection with the GM there from Buffalo. You know, that said, we don't really know how much power Joe Shane truly has over the hire. Maybe he does get to make the hire, but maybe the Giants tell him, hey, we want a defense-first coach, or we want this, and maybe Brian Daboll doesn't necessarily, you know, fit that puzzle piece. But I'm surprised that Daboll didn't get a job last year. I think he's done just an outstanding job with that offense. He's succeeded as an offensive coordinator kind of wherever he's been. Like, remember Peyton Hillis had that big year for the Browns. Daboll was his offensive coordinator. And he also worked at Alabama. He's worked at the college level. So he's just got a lot of different experience. And I would be surprised if he didn't get a head job this time.
Yeah, yeah. What about the idea of hiring Josh McCown in Houston? Is that real?
It would be. I think they'd get a call from the league office. Like, please do not do this. It would not be a good look to, you know, for a team that has had some issues with being accused of racial statements and things like that from the owners and some uncomfortable things in the organization. For them to fire their black coach after 1 year and hire a guy who has never coached on any level, Josh McCown, to be a head coach. I know he's had a long, long career, and I'm sure he's a terrific coach and all that. But, man, it would be a terrible look for the Texans and for the league. And I think the league would beg the Texans not to do that. You know, it's weird. It's like Nick Caserio is kind of – I tweeted this before, and a lot of Texans fans didn't like this, but I think it's 100% true. Caserio is kind of the shadow coach there anyway. You know, he's the GM, but – he, you know, like it with the Patriots, he participates in practice. You know, he's there doing the drills during the every day in practice, and he sits in the coach's box with the headset on during the game. So he's basically the shadow coach. So to me, it does kind of make sense that you would hire someone like Josh McCown, who would just be happy to have the job and just kind of will do whatever Nick Caserio kind of tells him to do. I kind of think that's the way that the Texans are set up right now. Caserio, I don't think he's micromanaging every third and sixth decision, but it's his show, and I think they're going to hire someone who's willing to put his vision into effect.
What's the best job that's out there?
None. I mean, they all stink. there's a reason they're open. And these are the same jobs that are always open. Like Chicago, it's just like a black hole right now. Miami, they fire their coach every 2 or 3 years, no matter if he wins or not. I guess the Vikings and probably the Broncos are the two most stable situations. Neither has a great quarterback situation. The Vikings have one more year of Kirk Cousins at a ridiculous contract. The new coach can maybe put up with one more year of Cousins, and then they can figure out what to do at quarterback. And the Broncos haven't been able to find one for years. But and that's a team also that's, you know, going to be sold pretty soon, so who knows. But just overall, I think organizationally the Broncos and the Vikings are probably the best places to work and the most stable. I mean, I wouldn't want that Dolphins job. They fire their coach every 2 years. Brian Flores did not deserve to be fired this past time. So that organization's a mess. You know, the Giants, yeah, probably a good job, but they've been a total disaster firing their coaches every 2 years. There's a reason these jobs keep coming open. These organizations are a mess. They don't have quarterbacks. So none of these are great jobs right now, and they all kind of come with a buyer beware sticker.
So it's a great point. If I were to hold a gun to your head, who's in the Super Bowl?
Well, I'd said Bills and Packers before the season, and I picked the Bills to win it all. So I'm not going to back off that now. Give me the Buffalo Bills, team of destiny. Got to love what Josh Allen's doing right now. Although I'm concerned, he only has played well against the Patriots. If you look at his games down the stretch, he's only played well against the Patriots, and he struggled against the other teams. But let's stick with Bills, Packers, two small market teams taking over L.A. for the Super Bowl.
Will there be a device thrown on the field at SoFi if the Bills reach the Super Bowl?
A device, if you will?
Yes.
I'm going to say no. Security for the Super Bowl is a little tighter than it was for a Saturday night in Buffalo. But, yeah, I've been to a few.
Who's the guy who sneaks that in? Who's the guy who sneaks that in? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, at the Super Bowl, that's probably a tough sell. But you never know what you're going to get in Buffalo.
It is the Bills Mafia. They are very unique. Ben, great stuff. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Dougie.
Ben Volen, of course, a senior NFL writer for the Boston Globe. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues, works with you to resolve them. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Coming off a wild card weekend, I went 6-1. So, got four games. Going to give you four winners. That's upcoming next. Speaking of games,